Today on Real Radio.
When God intervenes, he sends fire out of heaven and consumes Sodom and Gomorrah. When God intervenes, the ground opens up and swallows Korah and all of his rebellious lot. When God intervenes, the Red Sea parts. When God intervenes, the Jordan River goes back up to Adam. When God intervenes, he sends a loaf of bread. What in the world? He sends a Twinkie down from the hill? What is this?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation taken from chapter 7. Now, this is the fascinating account of how Gideon's army was divinely reduced to just 300 men before battling an apparently superior enemy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Few Good Men.
I actually said that to a bank one time. They said, "We want to know what your 15-year plan is." And I said, "We don't know. We don't have one." What? And I said, "The Bible says Abraham followed God not knowing where he was going. We do not know where we're going." I'm serious. See, they want to work with the church, but they don't like spiritual answers. We don't know. So the lady, she's sweet. She pressed it. "Well, come on, you got to give me something. I got to write something in there." I said, "Frankly, this is great stuff that we're doing here right now. It's got to happen. But we're praying that the Lord comes back any day now." Scouts honor. Second thing under this is that Gideon's authority will be established by the Lord. And that is a great, great thing, is when God establishes authority. There's nothing worse than somebody running around trying to establish their own authority. It's pathetic. Gideon's authority will be established by the Lord, verse number 5, by being a leader God's way. Being a leader God's way means you have to first be a follower of God. All of God's leaders were first followers. And they follow him. So he, verse 5, brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." Watch this. First of all, those of you who have been with us to Israel, do you remember going to Gideon Springs? They've actually geologically and archaeologically has found this location. Gideon Springs, that's what it's called. It must have been beautiful in his day. Now the springs come out of the ground and flows into a really nice swimming pool, and all these people jumping around and goofing off. I don't think Gideon had a pool like that to play in, but his springs have been found in this exact location where it's listed here in Scripture. God says, "Bring him down to the spring. Here's what I'm going to do." Now watch this. This is very cool. You guys, God can do anything. He doesn't need us. He involves us into what he wants to do. Okay, remember that. He releases the 22,000. There's the 10,000. And now we're down to 300 against this huge army. God doesn't even need the 300. But what he does is he calls these men to excellence, character building. And then what's going on here is that he says, "Okay, Gideon, now watch these guys. When they go down to the water..." It's funny that this matters to God. The guys who lap the water like a dog, that's not an insult. It sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? He's not insulting them. Next time you see a dog drink water, watch what a dog does. It's very amazing. A dog, when it goes to drink water, will look straight ahead and bring the water up with its tongue right to its mouth. You'll never see the dog, you know, putting his face in the bowl. It's in its DNA. A dog will put its head down, look straight, and drink and look. Like this. God says, those are the guys I want. They're not going to get on their knees. They'll get down on one knee, and they'll bring the water to their mouth like this, and they're looking, their heads up. Why does that matter to God? I don't have a clue. I do not know. God doesn't need them, so why should it matter? I think this. God honors a heart that is vigilant, that is diligent, a heart that is on the both offensive and defensive, a heart that is looking. Didn't Jesus say, watch, pray, for you do not know when the Son of Man returns. You don't know what hour he's going to come. So be ready. Over and over again, the Bible says, be ready. As Christians, we need to be bringing just enough to our mouths, always scanning, always looking our eyes off of this world and around at the things that might threaten us or the things that might be opening up to us by the Lord. God says, I want those kind of men, Gideon, men of excellence, men of this character. I think that's significant. I think it speaks about their hearts being completely committed to the task. You gotta understand, these guys are serious commandos because they've just watched 22,000 people leave and nearly, 9,000 some odd guys be unselected, if I can use that word. It's just 300 guys. And when they go to get water, they're ready. I love that. I pray Jesus finds us ready. I think maybe, you know, how cool, wouldn't it be great if the Lord, as we're fasting and praying as a church this July 3rd and July 4th, wouldn't it be awesome if the Lord spoke something to us? I'm expecting him to do that. What does he want to do? Secondly, verses 6 through 7, discernment by observation. I think it's discernment by observation. Gideon's authority is established. God tells him, this is what I want you to do. And so, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. And the rest of them, who drank water on their knees like that, he sent them away. And by the 300 men, God said, who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. And he let all the other people go home, go back to their place. This is amazing. Discernment by observation. What do I mean by that? Discernment by observation. There is no word in here that tells us that what we're reading, everybody knew. Seems as though God's speaking to Gideon. Gideon, this, that, or the other. God speaks to Gideon. Gideon watches and obeys. In doing this, you see Gideon in a wonderful, as it were, a mediator type sense. He's listening to the Lord. He's looking at his troops. And based upon the wisdom of God, he's making discernible, wise decisions. You see, Jack, it wasn't even his decision. Ah, the authority. God establishes authority. God makes the decision and communicates it to his leaders. The leaders turn around and they may look noble. They may look all wise. When they speak what they say, watch this, people will say, well, that's a stupid idea. People will say, why would we do that? People will say, that makes no sense. But when that leader who's connected to heaven says what God told him to say, and it happens, what do you think happens among the hearts of those people? They say things like, how did you know? Wow. That's amazing. The sweet thing is Gideon had been prepared just as a farm boy so that all the glory would be going to God. He was discerning by observation. Before we leave this and go to the third point, I think more than ever, you and I, please church, I think you and I need to be able to be living in this world right now and to be discerning as we're connected to the Lord in prayer and in His Word, discerning among those that we work with and live with and traffic with in our community, that we need to be discerning by observation. And we need to speak out or for, to defend or to condemn or to reveal or to encourage biblically. If we're connected to heaven, we're going to be biblically deciding. But we won't be deciding. God will say, God will remind us, this is wrong in your community. Whatever it might be, I don't know, whatever. And you can contact the mayor, or you can contact the city council, or you can contact the state, and you just say, this is the thing. I encourage you, don't call up Barbara Boxer's office or Dianne Feinstein or the mayor's office and say, I'm a Christian, God told me to call you. There'll be a knock at your door. They'll take you away. Because people don't go for that stuff. Man, we got a guy calling and says, God told him to. Don't say that. Jesus said it this way, don't cast your pearl before swine. They don't get it. They don't understand. Pigs have no value for pearls. Can you imagine a pig? Oh, look at this. Look at that one. How about this pearl? Put it in there. They don't care about that. Jesus said, don't do that. Be very wise about that. Be discerning. But listen, we are to be salt and light. In this world, we are to say, this is wrong. This is wrong. Third point tonight, verses 8 to 11, Gideon's victory would be complete. How is that Gideon's victory would be complete? Well, this way, the Lord never loses a battle. Isn't that great? Never lost one yet. He's not going to lose one. So the people took provisions and their trumpets and in their hands, and he sent them away. And all the rest of Israel, and every man to his tent, and they retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below in the valley, and it happened. I love this. The same night that the Lord said to Gideon, arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered them into your hands. Notice it's past tense in English, and it's super past tense in Hebrew. It is over for them, Gideon. Isn't that great? Gideon, get up and go down there. It's almost like God couldn't wait. Okay, see, the guys can go, get their trumpets and their bags. See you. Bye. All right, Gideon, check this out. Get up and go. It's already over. It's done. You say, well, that's kind of radical, isn't it? It's very radical. You have to ask yourself, when does God establish the victory? When does God have the victory? God always has the victory. The victory is established and confirmed through us, his instruments. Isn't that wild? It's amazing. He's so good to do that. And so he never loses. Gideon's victory is going to be complete. Not only that, the Lord always encourages us. Look at verses 10 and 11. But if you are afraid, God is speaking to him. Gideon, if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Porah, your servant. Isn't this nice of the Lord? And you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. So he's going to go down there and snoop in, listen to this conversation. So the Lord provides this man, Porah. And by that, encouragement comes. I believe very strongly in fellowship. I don't care if you have one friend or 10 friends, just have a Christian friend, will you? And your Christian friend, by the way, should be someone who is as or stronger than you in the Lord. That's a great, great group of friends to have. Somebody that can pull you along and lift you up. In the midst of all of this stuff, I love the humanity of the Bible. Gideon sees all this stuff and has all these great answered prayers, and God speaks to him, and he's afraid. Is this not human? He's afraid. So God says, if you're afraid, take your buddy with you. Okay. Look at verse 11. The Lord is such a wonderful victor for us. He's our continuous victory. Look at verse 11 at the end. Then he went down with Porah. Was Gideon afraid? Yes. Read the end of the verse. He took his buddy with him. He was scared. And his servant to the outpost and armed men of the camp. Gideon was afraid, took his friend with him. and the Lord led them. So church, listen to this. God will always encourage us to the thing that he's called us to do. Are you discouraged? Did God give you something to do and you're discouraged? God will encourage us. Do you need that right now? I don't know about you, but I need that right now. Did God tell you to do something? It's not done yet? Hasn't happened yet? You get discouraged. And victorious continuously with the Lord. He never loses. Man, I feel so defeated. Get closer to Jesus. He never loses. And then, fourth and final point, verses 12 to 15, we'll end it here. A few good men. Gideon's reality would be in the promises. That is, in the promises of the Lord. The Lord would intervene. Now the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the people of the east, they were gathered there in the valley, more numerous than the locusts. The camels were there without number, like the sand of the seashore. And Gideon had come, and there was a man, watch this, there was a man telling the dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. Gideon's listening to this. Now, are they listening in, or are they just sitting around blending in? I don't know. But he hears this guy say, I had a dream. Wow, what a surprising dream it was. Watch this. Yep, here's the dream. A loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp. And it struck the tents, fell on them, overturned them, and collapsed them. When God intervenes, listen, we've read the Bible. When God intervenes, he sends a flood. When God intervenes, he sends fire out of heaven and consumes Sodom and Gomorrah. When God intervenes, the ground opens up and swallows Korah and all of his rebellious lot. When God intervenes, the Red Sea parts. When God intervenes, the Jordan River goes back up to Adam. When God intervenes, he sends a loaf of bread rolling out of the hill and knocks over the tents of the enemy. What in the world? He sends a Twinkie down from the hill? What is this? The interpretation that God gave them was the power of it all. It makes no sense. Barley loaves cannot knock over tents. And on top of that, it cannot cause them to be overturned and collapsed. Can you imagine? Boom. The whole tent flips over. That does not happen. God intervenes with this vision, with this dream, to bring across the interpretation. Here's the interpretation. We're in deep trouble. This is the hand of God on Gideon and on Israel. And he hears this. God went before them. He intervened. Secondly, the Lord prepared the way. Verse 14, then his companions answered and said, this is none other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. And in whose hand God has delivered the Midianites and the whole camp. What a radical thing. You say, well, what made them think that? God did. God did that. And then finally with this, and this is something to me. The Lord would use Gideon. Isn't it amazing that God uses us at all? Oh, I got to tell you this. Verse 15, the Lord uses us. This is amazing. This is so amazing. Last Sunday, I don't remember what service it was. But I walked up the aisle to meet you in the foyer. And I want you to know that when I'm in the foyer, I am in the mindset to meet people. I meet new people. And remember I say, if you want prayer, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, you come forward here, and there'll be pastors and prayer elders to meet with you. If you're visiting, or if we have not yet met, I'll meet you in the foyer. So I go to the foyer, and I'm ready. I'm in the mindset, like you would be, to greet people. I'm one-track minded. I want to get their names, and I want to... You know, how is it that you're here today? What brought you here? How did this happen? Well, nice to meet you. So I'm doing that. And this lady walks by. I don't think I had anything to do with this lady. But this lady walks by. And as soon as she passed by, which had, again, nothing to do with her, there was somebody coming up to me. And I went to open my mouth. And something landed. I inhaled. And it went right inside my throat. Perfectly down in something. And those of you who are around me, you saw what happened. I could not speak a sound. I went. And people were bringing me water, and I couldn't speak for, it was unbelievable. Just silent. Well, this couple, they're going, we just want to pray with somebody. And I'm going, I mean, God bless them. They could care less that I was dying right in front of them. But the thing was, I'm there to greet people. And now I'm like, remember, I'm in the mindset to greet people. So I just went. And I direct them over to Pastor Eve, who's standing off to the side. And Eve sees them coming, and he says to them, do you want to accept the Lord? Yeah. They prayed and accept the Lord. He tells me, and by the way, when that happened, and then, okay, I'm fine now. And I started greeting people. You know what happened? God knew that all I was caring about was getting their name and greeting them. God knew that Eve was going to be ready in a whole different mindset to lead them to the Lord. I couldn't talk, had to point them over there, they go over there, and then I can talk as he's leading them to the Lord. God used them, and afterwards he's going, it was so awesome, it was so great, it was so great. And I'm thinking, man. But you know what I would have done? I would have let them just go right on by. Nice to meet you, Mike, or, you know, hey, have a great week, see you later. And who knows? Who knows? You see that? It's amazing. Be ready. God wants to use Gideons. He wants to use us. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. What a funny reaction. Not if you know God. And he returned to the camp of Israel and he told the guys, get up, let's go. The Lord's delivered the Midian camp into our hands. And next time together, we're going to hear how he does it. It's awesome. But I want to say this and we're done. This is a serious thing. I personally believe, I believe this. Worship, a person who knows God is a worshiper. Gideon had to worship. Nobody said, Gideon, worship now. You're unthankful. You should be thankful. No, he's heard, oh my goodness, but he worships. Christians worship their God. Personally, I believe in my own eyes, this is just my head, this is the way I think, that you can spot people in a crowd who know God. They're worshipers. If you're not a worshiper, you don't even, yeah, how can you not be a worshiper and know the eternal creator God? If you know him, you're going to be a worshiper. You're going to want to learn the songs. You're going to want to get into worshiping him. Nobody had to tell Gideon to do it. I believe that's one of the telltale signs of a believer. Are they worshipers?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Few Good Men, taken from the first 15 verses of Judges chapter 7. We'll continue with more in this chapter on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a topical series called Life and the Bible. You know, many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, suggestions, tips, certainly commands on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series called Life in the Bible. And this week, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Life and the Bible, Being a Christian in Your Relationships. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.